The only thing that you can't change from one word to the other is you can't change Allah's mercy into punishment or the word punishment into mercy. That's it. Any other word of the Quran, if you find a word which is alternative, there's no harm. And that's why we had absolute chaos. We had chaos later on where people would start reciting words where they're like, well, you know what? I know this word sounds like this, but I think this word would be a better word. Habibi, you come and write the Quran then. Why are you giving Allah to write the Quran? As in, if you're the one who can write the Quran, you come and write the Quran. This idea, Imam Sadiq was asked. He was told, oh Imam, do we believe that there's seven possible readings of one word in an ayah? Imam said, the Quran came down as one, from one, revealed as one. Correct or no? The Quran came down as one, from one, revealed as one. Therefore, Ahlul Sunnah, within this idea of the seven Ahruf, the idea of the seven Ahruf meant, if you now pick any ayah, من كان عليها فان, you can change that ayah as much as you want. Pick me any other ayah, as long as you find the suitable word difference, you can change it. Therefore, when we looked at this, did we, as the followers of Ahlul Bayt, automatically say, Ahlul Sunnah have a different Quran? I ask all of you here in this hall today, all of you, have you ever in your life gone to any member of Ahlul Sunnah and said, your Quran is different? Have any of you ever written a book saying, Ahlul Sunnah's Quran is different? When people come to Mashhad, or they come to Sayyidah Zainab, or they come to Najaf, or they come to Qom, or Karbala, or they come to Samara, do you see books outside saying, Ahlul Sunnah's Quran is different? Never. Never. Why? Because we end up with a conclusion. What do we say? We look at the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah. What do they say? If the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah of today, if they say the Quran is different, then we say that that's what you're saying. But if the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah say these narrations are weak, or we don't take them, for example, and the Quran we have with us is the same, then we as followers of Ahlul Bayt don't lower ourselves to the standard of these arguments. In which way? In the sense that we, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, don't want to accuse another school of having a different Quran. You turn it around and look at the billions being pumped by Saudi Arabia upon our opinion. Correct or no? When it's their opinion, you won't find, here I am, I'm sitting as a speaker on the minbar of Ahlul Bayt. I do not say Ahlul Sunnah have a different Quran. I say in their books there are these traditions. But their ulama have reached the conclusion that these traditions are weak. And therefore the ulama have said the Quran is their same Quran. Even though I know those traditions are in Bukhari, I know they're in Muslim, these are very strong works. But I say, you know what? If your ulama say the Quran is the same Quran, then we'll go with that. Subhanallah, Saudi Arabia, how many billions it spent on writing books. The Shia have a different Quran. The Shia believe in a different Quran. The Shia think of a different Quran. The Shia, Habibi, your Quran made in Saudi is in my house. Correct or no? How many of us have a Quran printed in Riyadh? Yes? The Quran is printed where? Qom, Najaf, it's in Riyadh. I have your Quran at home. Why do you make these innocent Indonesians, innocent Bangladeshis go back home when they've come for Hajj? Do you know how many free booklets they give them? Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim. Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim. Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim. Well, the whole world reverberated about Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim. You don't have any other ulama? Why don't you give them Suyuti's Itqan? Yes, give them Suyuti's Itqan. Let them read. Be objective when you examine a topic. Someone turns around and says, but how about in our books of hadith? Do we have traditions which say that the Quran changed? Firstly, they normally point at this book. Fasl al-Khattab fi tahrif kitab Rabb al-Arbab of Mirza Nuri. Mirza Nuri was one of the scholars of Ahlul Bayt who died in 1902. He has this book which every year they try and use to show tahrif. Mirza Nuri, firstly, what's he done with this book? He's put a chapter about the hadiths of the Sunnah about tahrif al-Quran. He has another chapter about the Shia and the tahrif of the Quran. Then he starts discussing both chapters, yes? What do some of them do? They get his book, they remove the whole chapter, yes, on hadiths in Ahlul Sunnah's book, and they say, look, even a Shia alim claims he has a chapter, yes, about tahrif. Say, well, hold on, how about the chapter about your books? That's completely wiped away, yes? That's completely wiped away. That Nuri, what did he do? He picked out certain hadiths in our books, and he tried to examine them, and you found that they kept on using this in every debate on the internet today, and every debate on television between any of the ulama, you'll see them saying, but Fasl al-Khitab, Fasl al-Khitab, Fasl al-Khitab, you people have a book by one of your ulama. Habibi, you took one alim and you forgot all the other thousands of ulama of the school of Ahlul Bayt. So you took one alim and you said to me that that one alim represents the school of Ahlul Bayt. That's like me now, for example, looking at Bukhari. I take something from Bukhari and I say that that represents the whole of Ahlul Sunnah. Let me give you an example. Abu Fu'ayla, he has a hadith where he says that Nabi Sulaiman was sitting, this is in Bukhari, Nabi Sulaiman was sitting with his companions. He looked at them and he said, what strength do you have with woman? So they looked at him and said, oh, Prophet of God, what strength do you have? He replied by saying, I can be with 60 women tonight. And then Jibreel came and he said, Insha'Allah. Yes? If I look at that hadith, I say, Ahlul Sunnah, all of them believe in that hadith. Ahlul Sunnah, all of them believe Rasul, a Prophet of Allah says, I have the strength to be with 60 women in one night. No, of course not. I won't generalize a whole book to represent a whole school. Likewise, when you come to Nuri's Fasl al-Khattab, Fasl al-Khattab, one chapter says the hadiths of Ahlul Sunnah about Tahrif. Another chapter says the hadiths of the Shia about Tahrif. Why have you deleted the chapter on Ahlul Sunnah? Why only put the chapter on the Shia? Further than this, what do you find? Someone says, well, how about Tafsir al-Qummi? Yes, they say Tafsir al-Qummi. You have a verse of the Quran. For example, a verse like Surah 3, verse 110. Yes? Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. They say, why is qummi put next to ummatin? A'immatin. The word is ummatin. It shouldn't be a'imma. That means that qummi believes there's tahrif. Firstly, we reply by saying, no. Qummi looks at a'imma and the idea that this word umma, one of its meanings could be a'imma. You know, how many times have you read Yusuf Ali? When you read Yusuf Ali, don't you read sometimes he puts his own opinion in brackets next to an ayah? When he puts his own opinion in brackets, does that mean Yusuf Ali's translation's done tahrif? No. You're just putting an opinion of a tafsir next to the ayah. Likewise, if you bring me Qummi or Ayashi, there are many times the school of Ahlul Bayt, they may take an ayah in brackets next to the ayah. They write a word to mean what could be the tafsir of that word there. Someone says, okay, Al-Kafi, Imam Salih says there's 17,000 words in the verses in the Quran, whereas the Quran we have with us today is 6,500. Yes, Imam Salih, why did he say that? If you add the words of the Quran with the tafsir of the Quran, they'll come to 17,000. Imam Salih wasn't saying the whole Quran is 17,000. He was saying ayat al-Quran. Yes? And the kalam in tafsir al-Quran, if you bring all of them together, they come to 17,000. Someone says, let me take this a step further, because I want every angle covered. Someone says, okay, Allama al-Majlisi, or Sheikh Ni'matullah, or Sayyid Ni'matullah Jazari, they say that there's been tahrif. Yes, they may have said at a certain part in their juncture as a scholar, but later they rescinded their opinions. They may have looked at certain traditions. They may have thought, possibly, some people tried to remove the verses. But later on they came forward and they stuck with the unanimous Shia opinion that the Quran revealed to Rasulullah is the same Quran we have with us until today. There has been no change at all. On what basis? Firstly, all of our Shia ulama say this. I'll give you examples. The first to say this was Fadl bin Shadan. In the book The Idah, he says it's unanimous in the school of Ahlul Bayt. The Quran every single one of us here has on the night of the 20th of Ramadan is the same Quran which is from the time of the Prophet. Sheikh al-Saduq in the I'tiqadat says the same. Sheikh Sayyid al-Murtada replies to those who accuse us of having a different Quran by saying the same Quran from the time of Rasulullah. Sheikh al-Tusi says us and the Hashawiyya are accused, yes, of having a different Quran. Our Quran is the same as the time from Rasulullah. Sheikh Sayyid, why don't you bring me their opinions? Why bring me one scholar and use his book? Why don't you show me Sayyid al-Murtada, Sheikh al-Tusi, Sheikh al-Saduq, Fadl bin Shadan, even the later ulama, Sayyid Sharaf al-Din al-Musawi, may Allah bless his soul. A phenomenal reply to Musa Jarallah, when Musa Jarallah said the Shia have a different Quran. An unbelievable reply he gave towards him. Further, Sheikh Muhammad Jawad al-Balaghi in Ala al-Rahman, clearly he says the Quran we have with us today in the school of Ahlul Bayt, same Quran from the time of Rasulullah. Ayatullah al-Khu'i, may Allah bless his soul. In the book, The Proglomena to the Quran, fantastic book. Those of you who haven't read it, you've missed out. If you want to read a good book on analysis of the Quran, the prolegomena of the Quran. Ayatullah Al-Khoi, translated by Abdul Aziz Sajjadina. It's a fantastic work. If you read this work, you'll find, Sayyid Al-Khoi says, the Quran we have with us today is the same Quran as the one from the time of Rasulullah. Sayyid Hadi Ma'rifat, in his book, same Quran from the time of Rasulullah. In other words, the ulama of the school of Ahlul Bayt are unanimous that if you find a tradition which says the Quran has been changed, then what should you do? You should look at that tradition and see that the context may be something different. Why do we believe it's the same Quran? Firstly, our ulama say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Correct? Surah 15 verse 9. We, you know, the only time Allah uses two we's is this ayah. If you look in the Quran, Inna nahnu. Inna means we. Nahnu, we. Allah has how many? One. Many times people ask me, how could Allah say we when he's saying what? I. Yes, he should be I. Why does he say we? The royal we, correct? The queen in my country, she clearly says whenever she speaks, we'd like to thank you. And you only look at it, there's only one person, correct or no? But it's called the royal we. A person of grandeur says, we would like to thank you. When Allah says, we, that means that I want to make it doubly clear. In my grandeur, no one's going to change this Quran. Yes? Inna nahnu. He could have easily said, Inna nazzalna dhikr. Inna nahnu. We, verily we, not just we, verily we. Send down the reminder and verily we'll protect it. Yes? What, you think some of you can come and change this book? Try your hardest. Even the man who put the book through a spear himself ended up being dead on the ground. Correct? At Safin. So what you have is you have this person. You found that the ayah of the Quran said what? Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Number one. Number two, Rasulullah said, I leave behind the Quran and my Ahlul Bayt. He therefore made it clear to us that the Quran is alongside Ahlul Bayt and it's the Quran that I have with me. If the Quran changes, then Ahlul Bayt's words may contradict the Quran. Therefore, the Quran and Ahlul Bayt are together. They'll never separate until the Pool of Kawthar. Yes? You'll meet me at the Pool of Kawthar. That's number two. You find number three, the fact that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt quote the Quran means it's the same Quran. Yes? If the Imams of Ahlul Bayt are quoting a verse from the Quran, if the Quran has been missing or has got chunks missing, the Imam would say to us that, you know what, be careful, this Quran is not going to be the same, unless they knew that that Quran will remain the same until the Day of Judgment. So when they quote from it, they quote because they know the book hasn't been altered. Number four, and very importantly, how many times do you read hadiths of Ahlul Bayt where they say, if you read the hadith, verify it with the Quran. Isn't it or no? When you read the hadith, verify. I can turn around and say, oh, Imams of Ahlul Bayt, you're saying to me, if you read the hadith, verify it with the Quran, then what if I don't have the Quran as you had it? No, the Imams knew the Quran would stay the same until the Day of Judgment. All of these came to prove what? Tahrif, in the meaning of distortion, did not happen. How about another type of tahrif? Please focus on this key area. Ayatullah Al-Khoi, amongst others, what they say? Tahrif, in terms of the Quranic text, did not happen. But could there be another type of tahrif? For example, an omission of an ayah? He says, yes, other schools believe in omission of an ayah. What do I mean? How many of you have been to Hajj or Umrah? When you hear the Imam at the beginning of prayer, what does he say? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Correct or no? Where's Bismillah? It's because in Ahl al-Sunnah they don't believe Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an ayah of the Quran. The only scholar of Ahl al-Sunnah in the four main schools is Imam al-Shafi'i, who believes Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an ayah at the beginning of the surahs of the Quran. Abu Hanifa, Malik, and Ahmed bin Hanbal don't believe Bismillah is an ayah. And that's why when you pray Jama'ah with our brothers, if you want to tell if they are Maliki or Hanafi or Hanbali, they will say the Bismillah silent. If they are Shafi'i, they'll say the Bismillah loud. Imam al-Shafi'i used to say Bismillah is the first ayah of every surah in the Quran except Tawbah. That's the only ayah, the only surah doesn't mean Bismillah. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmed bin Malik says it's reprehensible to say Bismillah.
Yes. Malik says it's reprehensible to say Bismillah. He says you can't even say it in Salah. Abu Hanifa and Ahmad, these are the opinions of other schools in Islam. At the end of the day, everyone's got their own ijtihad in other schools. Abu Hanifa and Ahmad Muhammad say, you say it in Salah silently. That's why in Hajj, Saudi Arabia, being predominantly Hanbali prototype, you find that when they come to praying, they'll be like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil. Even ironically, you know the Quran, sometimes when you listen in the car to the Quran, have you noticed the Bismillah is completely out of place with the surah? So the surah might begin with some unbelievable tajweed, but Bismillah is like clearly taken from surah 27 verse 30. Because you know, surah 27 verse 30 is the other ayah of Bismillah. Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's the 114th mention of Bismillah in the Quran is in surah 27 verse 30. In other words, did tahrif occur in terms of an omission? Ayatollah al-Khoi says, yes, Ahlul Sunnah and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they don't say it. The only school that says it is Imam al-Shafi'i school. And you know, this was made a sign in the school of Ahlul Bayt. And Najm Haidar has a fantastic work on this area. And I think he's from the local area, Najm. He has a fantastic area and a fantastic book on this area. The origins of the Shia of Kufa in the 8th century. He shows what? He shows clearly that one of the signs of the Shia early on is that they used to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning of Salah and at the beginning of the surahs of the Quran. In other words, what do you find? You find that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is omitted, except in the school of Ahlul Bayt. We believe in Bismillah. And those of you who heard my majlis this year, night 5 of Shahr Ramadan in Africa, many of you would have heard the majlis where I said the debate about Iqra. What was it meaning when Rasulullah was told, read in the name of your Lord? Yes? The first ayah wasn't Iqra. The first ayah was Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That means he had no confusion about reading. Correct or no? If the first ayah was Iqra, then his reply would be, what do you want me to read? The first ayah to us wasn't Iqra. It was Bismillah. He already knew what he wanted him to read. Therefore, what do you find? You find on this area, distortion occurred. What other area? Distortion occurred also when it came to tafsir of the Quran. That we believe in 100%. That tahrif definitely took place. The same way the Jews, من الذين هادوا يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه. Likewise, and with us, what do we have? That tafsir of the Quran, they changed the tafsir. How? If an ayah was revealed about a certain personality, they changed the word of the ayah to give it to someone else. Let me give you an example. The ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-Bayyinah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat. Ulaika hum khayrul bariyah. Yes? Our knowledge of the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, must improve in this holy month of Ramadan. The Shia are very good at Ahlul Bayt and nothing in Quran. Inshallah, that will change soon. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat. Ulaika hum khayrul bariyah. Those who believe and do the good deeds, these are whom? These are the best and the most pious of the people. Correct or no? Yes? Well, this verse was revealed about whom? About Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yes? That Rasulullah said, Ali and his Shia are khayrul bariyah. Yes? Ali and his Shia. This is who the verse is revealed about. Clearly, not just in our books. Some of the books of Ahlul Sunnah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةُ. They are Ali and Shia. You find someone like Fayruza Abadi within his tafsir says what? He changes the tafsir completely. He says the tafsir is, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who have believed in Muhammad's message, like Abu Bakr, like Abdullah ibn Salam, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, like Abu Bakr, like Abdullah ibn Salam, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Abu Bakr is خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Abdullah ibn Salam is خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. You're like, everybody knew this verse is about Ali ibn Abi Talib. That Rasulullah said, Ali ibn Abi Talib, him and his Shia, him and his followers will be raised is on the day of judgment as Khayrul Bariyah. Abu Bakr al-Jazari, in his tafsir, what did he say? He said, I don't know who this verse refers to. I'm not sure. You're not sure? Or is it because he fought your mother, you're not sure? As the poet says, yes? When they fight my mother, how can I ever give them any merits? It's true. Abu Bakr al-Jazari says what? I'm not sure. This could be revealed about anyone. Anyone. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat. Anyone. Hum khayrul bariyah. Fayruz Abadi says, no. Abu Bakr. He is khayr.
Artist. Everyone tried to remove a merit from Ali ibn Abi Talib. Every ayah revealed about Amir al-Mu'mineen and his Shia. This ayah is about Ali and his Shia. Rasulullah said, Ali and his Shia. He didn't just say Ali. Ali and his Shia. Hum khayr al-bariyah. Everyone said that. They tried to do tahrif of the tafsir of the Quran. If they didn't manage doing tahrif of the words, they done tahrif of the tafsir. Yet without a doubt, while the Shia of Ali remain alive, that ayah remains alive as well. And that's why even at that time you found, who was he referring to when he said Ali and his Shia? Us? No, not at all. We are trying to be Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We're not there yet. The real Shia of Ali are people like Salman, people like Abu Dhar, people like Miqdad, people like Ammar, people like Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari, people like Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, people like Hudhayf al-Yaman, people like Khuzaymah bin Thabit al-Ansari, people like Malik al-Ashtar, Hujr bin Adi al-Kindi, Sa'sa'a bin Sohan, people like Maytham al-Tammar, people along the lines of Kumail ibn Ziyad. These are the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. These are the ones we strive to be like every day in our life. And it was these on a night like this who surrounded the holy house of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Yes? On the night of the 20th of Ramadan, Sa'sa'a bin Sohan, Hujr bin Adi, Ya Allah, restore the grave of Hujr bin Adi. Ya Allah, allow us the ziyarah of the grave of Hujr bin Adi. That great colossal figure of Muhammad, that lover of Muhammad. On a night like this, he was crying outside the house of Imam Ali in the land of Kufa. Hujr was outside crying. Next to him, Al-Asbagh bin Nubata was crying. Next to him, Kumail bin Ziyad was crying. Next to him, Maytham Tamar was crying. All of them were crying. Why? Because the love of their life was injured on his deathbed, correct? How many of you, when you saw your father injured, when you saw your father on his deathbed, how much were you hurt when you see your father dying in his final moments? How about the father of fathers, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyid al-Wasiyin, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Asad Allah al-Ghalib, Madhar al-Ajaib, every marriage, he's lying on the ground on his deathbed. All of them were sitting outside crying. Imam al-Hassan let them all enter, yes? Imam al-Hassan, he let them all enter. They came to sit by the bed of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they saw the band around the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And you know what the doctor said to Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said to him, you know, I can see the edge of your brain from how much the cut has gone through. Why? Because that cut Amr ibn Wid al-Amri had given him at the Battle of Khandaq. So Ibn Muljam struck back on the same cut. So he saw that they were all there and they all began to cry. One of them kissing the cheeks of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Another of them trying to hold the hand of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yes? Because in life you cannot replace a figure like Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib's love goes and penetrates the heart of every follower of Muhammad. All of them were there crying. And then at that moment, Imam al-Hassan told them, he said, Zainab wants to come and see her father. May Allah allow us the ziyarah of Zainab. Zainab wants to see her father, correct? So what happened was that all of them, when they hear the name Zainab, they stand. Yes? Because this is the daughter of Fatima al-Zahra. All of them stood up and they all left. And what they thought was that all of them have left for their houses. Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussein, Sayyida Zainab, and Kulthum, Abu Fadl al-Abbas, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, all of them were by their father's body, yes? And I'm going to narrate to you a tradition Sayyid Ali Khamenei narrated on the night of the 20th of Ramadan once on his Masaib. I will come to that in a moment. But as for this, what happened was, when all of them were there, they were all there by the father's body. Imam al-Hassan at that moment sees Imam Ali. Imam Ali looks at him and says, I hear someone outside crying, my son Hassan. Is there someone outside crying? He replied to him, my father, I'll go and check, but I think all of them have left. He went outside. Who did he see? He saw Al-Asbagh bin Nubat sitting by the door. He looked towards him. He said, Al-Asbagh, everybody left. Why have you stayed? Al-Asbagh couldn't reply. He was just in tears. Imam Al-Hassan replied. He said, said, don't worry, let me go and see my father. He went back to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, Imam, do you know who's outside? He said, who? He said, Al-Asbagh. He said, why doesn't he go? He said, he can't bear to leave you. He wants to stay outside the house. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. So Imam at this moment called him. He said, Al-Asbagh, Al-Asbagh, come near me. When Al-Asbagh began to come towards the holy body of Ali ibn Abi Talib, he came and he sat by the body of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen looked at him, he said to him, Asbagh, calm down, stop crying. In a moment, I'll be going towards what my Lord has promised me. Listen to the reply. He replied to him by saying what? Oh, Imam, I don't cry because I doubt where you're going. Rather, I cry because I think to myself, how can I live in a world without Ali ibn Abi Talib with me? How can I wake up in the morning without the light of Ali ibn Abi Talib shining through me? That was an unbelievable love. Imam consoled him. He said to him, Al-Asbagh, don't worry, my son. Allah will raise you with me. When Al-Asbagh left, now the family were alone with the father. The ladies, you could relate to this, because a lady always has a lovely relationship with her father. A daughter has a lovely relationship with her father. Imam was in his final moments. Who was standing around him? Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussein, Sayyida Zainab, and Kulthum. He suddenly saw Imam al-Hassan crying. He said to him, Hassan, my son, stop crying, yes? Said Ali Khamenei narrates this. He says, then he looked at Imam al-Hussein. Imam al-Hussein, he looked at him crying. He said to him, Hussein, I beg you, stop crying. But when he saw Zainab cry, he began to cry with Zainab as if he knew what would happen to Zainab. I say to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, where were you when Shimr came to whip Zainab on the 11th of Muharram? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Raise your hands, brothers and sisters. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with the Quran. Ya Allah, allow these tears to speak on the day of judgment. Ya Allah, raise us with Amir al-Mu'mineen. Raise us with the man who splits heaven and hell. Ya Allah, allow us to be amongst those who hold on to the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Allah, allow us to have the shafa'ah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Tomorrow, as you know, marks the night of the martyrdom of Amir al-Mu'mineen. I ask all of you to pray for this person on the minbar and to pray for all the Muslims around the world, especially our brothers in Pakistan, our brothers in Quetta, in Parachinar, in Karachi. Ya Allah, bring peace to their lives. Bring peace to the lives of our brothers in Sham. Bring peace to the lives of our brothers in Lebanon. Ya Allah, bring peace to the lives of our brothers in Bahrain, our brothers in the Hijaz. Ya Allah, remove all the oppression that faces them in that country. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a surah al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat.